As I was listening to Mary read the first lesson, it struck me that what you and I are doing today is the longest established ritual and gathering that the world has ever known. For 2,000 years, people have been doing what we are doing this morning. For 2,000 years, the church has experienced the ups and downs, the persecution, the tensions, the reality of what it is to be in the world. And yet here we are on the 13th of July in the year 2018 in Silver Springs, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, gathered for the Mass. At times, we can just take this for granted. Oh yeah, I'm going to Mass again. But when we appreciate the reality of what this is, we better understand one of the most enigmatic sayings that Jesus left us, a saying that we had in today's gospel. For at the end of today's reading, Jesus said to the disciples, "When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Before the Son of Man comes. Well, scholars looking at that verse thought that Jesus was saying that his second coming would happen within the first generation of the church. Isn't that what it means when he says, "Before the Son of Man comes"? And these same scholars have said, well, clearly the second coming of Jesus has not occurred. Therefore, Jesus' words cannot be trusted, and Christianity is inauthentic. So is that what Jesus meant when he said, "You will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes"? Well, here's the thing about biblical interpretation. You have to look at texts within contexts. And we have to understand something of the context of this morning's lesson in order to appreciate what Jesus says at the end of the gospel. So let's back up a little bit and rehearse again these words. "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name." Now just think about that for a second. That does not sound like very good news. It sounds like words that, I don't know if I want to sign up for that, Jesus. But here's the reality, that even in the midst of that, the church has survived. The church continues to exist. Because as Jesus goes on to say, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus anticipates the suffering of his followers that they will experience because they live and speak in his name. Indeed, Jesus here is speaking to Jews, and remember, Matthew is the most Jewish of the four gospels. And so what Matthew is helping us to appreciate is that within that first generation of the church, the kind of conflict that would exist between Jewish families would result in martyrdom, where children would kill their parents. Parents would kill their children because of their profession of the Christian faith. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus says the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, will testify in my name. He will give you the words to speak. And again, here we are 2,000 years later, and the only reason the church has been able to continue to not only exist but to thrive is because of the Holy Spirit. What a stark prediction Jesus gives here. So, if Jesus is talking about the persecution that the early Christians will experience, surely the verse at the end of today's gospel has to be seen as part of this chronology. The main interpretation of the Catholic Church as to what Jesus means when he speaks about the Son of Man coming is the following. Jesus is actually speaking about the historical event, what is called the First Jewish War against Rome, that ended with the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple in the year 70 AD. And as a result of this, the Jewish nation scattered. So in other words, Jesus in this passage is talking about a period marked by the year 33 AD, his death, resurrection, and ascension. So 33 AD is the beginning of this passage. through to the year 70 AD, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And what was it that happened subsequent to the year 70 AD? The church articulated more clearly her Eucharistic theology. And in developing her Eucharistic theology, she understood that the altar superseded the temple. And what happens on the altar? The Son of Man comes. Whenever the sacrifice of the Mass is offered, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, comes to his people. So in this context, when Jesus speaks about the coming of the Son of Man, he is talking particularly about two things. That the temple, where the sacrifices happened, will come to an end. But remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise again. And John tells us he was talking about the temple of his body. It begins to make sense, doesn't it? That the Son of Man will come, and the way he will come is in the Eucharist. And so let me end where I began, when I said, isn't it amazing that for 2,000 years, across the world, in every language, people are doing what we are doing? Because Jesus is true to his word. The Son of Man does come. And let me conclude by now referring again to a portion of our first lesson from Hosea. Hasn't it been beautiful to read Hosea this week? Maybe you've been unfamiliar with this book. But the poetic imagination of this prophet speaks of the loving heart of our heavenly God. And here, I think, we hear words that are Eucharistic, where the coming of the Eucharist blesses us. So listen again to the words of Hosea in light of the Eucharist. I will be like dew to Israel. Oh, the Eucharistic presence as Jesus falls amongst us as his consecrated presence is made real. And as we experience the dew of Israel, what will the consequence be? Well, listen to this language. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike root like the forests of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like an olive tree. And his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They shall again live beneath my shadow. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like a vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. You don't hear poetry like that every day, do you? But that's our faith. And it's because of this reality that people have gathered for 2,000 years at the coming of the Son of Man. Beloved, such is the effect in our lives when we welcome the Son of Man and live hopefully for that day, because we do believe in the second coming, literally. That day when the Son of Man will come again to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. And we will no longer need the Eucharist, because then the Son of Man will come.